Well, now, where were you?
I was a POW, but...
You were?
Yeah, but at that time, they didn't put you in concentration camps or anything. I just had to, do what they told you to do.
Where were you?
In Germany.
In Germany.
Yeah, near Siegen, Germany. But
and
I wasn't abused by them.
Was this in the Battle of the Bulge, or...?
After the Bulge. Shortly after the Bulge.
Jeepers.
So we've had a life, I can tell you.
So how long were you a POW?
Well, my records somehow got destroyed, and this wasn't confirmed until just about 8 or 10 years ago. I went to Congressman Jeffords, and I had to sign permission for him to have my records searched, so we finally found the available records in St. Louis, Missouri. That's where all the records are now. And he got it confirmed, and I don't know I don't remember when it was, but with his help, he got it confirmed that I was officially declared a POW. And what year it was, but they had this big celebration down to, used to be Fort Ethan Allen, Camp Johnson, I think.
I think it was 3 years ago.
And they were 70 others from the state. And they assigned me these POW plates. If you notice on my car, it says XPOW on the number plate.
Oh, look.
And everybody thinks you don't have to pay for them, but it didn't cost anything to get them. But you have to pay the registration just the same. That's about all I ever got out of it.
How were you captured?
Well, I was on a patrol at night, and I think the officer in charge was a little over-aggressive. Our assignment was go to the top of the hill to see what was between us and other outfits. And he took us right through the German lines, and they let us go, and when we tried to come back to our outfit, we just couldn't. It was impossible. But I don't regret any of it. I didn't get abused. You didn't get the best of food, nothing like they fed air troops, but I survived it.
Were you scared?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but I trusted the German soldiers more than I did the older Nazis there. They didn't abuse me or anything. I'm awful glad to see American troops again.
And you then were liberated by American troops?
Not exactly, but I knew they were close, and there were only 5 guys around me, and the guy that was guarding me had one of our service rifles. He was a medic, and he wasn't even supposed to carry a rifle. I didn't think he knew much about it, so I just... One day I said, well, I guess this is it. And I got a hold of the rifle and him, and took 4 other guys that had a mortar emplacement there. They were dropping mortars on the American troops, and we headed down the mountain, or back down over the hill. Came to the 104th Timberwolf outfit. And they asked a few questions. Finally, I convinced them that I was a GI. And then after about another 2 weeks, they got me back to my own outfit.
Gee, that's quite an experience.
That's what makes me think of these people that you saw on television, that their husbands, went over there to the war, but they weren't gone that. I feel sorry for the men, but the women. Oh, they had to get in council and in groups. We didn't have any council or any group. In fact, our minister never even came to our house, Reverend Strickland. He never showed up at our house. So you didn't even have a minister that came to you. But these people had groups,
Did you give up hope?
Yeah, you do sometimes when you don't hear anything. you know, because you don't know.
And it was 6 weeks?
It was about 6 weeks, which wasn't as long as some were, because I don't think Glennis Brown found out for quite a while. But finally, I think it was one of the men that was on the plane with Stanley. They finally got in touch with, and he said he did. He went down with the plane. But there was a long while he was missing, and she didn't hear anything, you know. She had three little boys. And so I really felt sorry for her. And of course, Dorothy Bisbee got the word that David was killed. So it's not a very pleasant. But there were three here in this, in Warren and Waitsfield, within, I would say, 5 days maybe.
Gosh.
Because there was Dorothy, and then there was Glennis, and then our house.
Mm.
But it's not a very pleasant.
Well, we were lucky. We were, first day of July, they announced on the ship how, well, when we left Le Havre, France, to come home, or we didn't know where we were going, they'd say that the General Brook is approximately 500 miles from Le Havre, France, and it was going about 500 miles a day. And on the 1st of July, they had made an announcement, the General Brooks is now approximately 1,500 miles from Newport News, Virginia. That's a pretty good feeling when you... We thought we were going to Japan, because from Germany to Japan. And the day I was supposed to... After we got in Newport News, went to Patrick Henry, and they gave you a 30-day recuperation furlough to come home. And the day I had to go back from my furlough was the surrender of Japan. Never did go back to didn't have to go to Japan. And I'm glad I didn't go in the Pacific Theater. The European Theater was bad enough.
Boy.
If anything goes wrong, we've had it. I said, some family sings all.
Yeah, it does seem to run in families.
It does, yeah. Fire, death, war, we've had it. But I guess it turns out all right.
Well, you always keep hoping.
Well, it's a good thing you don't know, I guess, what's ahead of you, isn't it?
Yeah, the people that have second sight or something, you know.
I don't want it.
I don't want to know.
No, I don't either. My mother always said, if I knew when I was going to die, I wouldn't be there. Or where I was going to die, I wouldn't be there. I guess it's a good thing we don't know.
Well, I guess there have been a lot of changes in this valley.
Sure have. Used to be a farming community, but it's not a, maybe three, maybe possibly four operating farms in the town now.
We used to swim in the river. I took swimming lessons from Elton and Eunice Farr down by the bridge, and the sewers ran in it. But we're living. Most of us that took the lessons are still alive. Today they would, they wouldn't believe it. But that's where we took our swimming lessons.
And I guess there was, you must have used the river for fishing and...
Yeah.
Earl Fuller told me that the river used to be a lot higher.
Right.
Yeah.
I can remember. Yeah.
I remember...
Changed course.
During the time I worked for Mad River, they had a big storm one winter. I don't know, the valley would just come to a halt if this ever happened today. But I had to stay at Mad River all night. 4:30 in the afternoon, it started snowing. And I stayed on the mountain with a machine all night, keeping trails open so we could get a machine to the top of the mountain the next morning to clean the lifts out. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, it had snowed 48 inches overnight. But came out of it all right. But I don't know what they do with a snowplow like that now.
Might
not
be.
That quickly.
Yeah.
Did Otis Wallace tell you he used to teach give dancing lessons?
No, he didn't tell me that.
I took dancing lessons from Otis Wallace. Can't tell whether it must have been in the spring and summer. 10 cents a lesson.
Is that right?
There was quite a group of us, and at the end of the whatever number of weeks, we had a big party. It was down where the town clerk's office is now. That used to be a town hall, and we could go in there anytime we wanted to. And he gave dancing lessons in there.
What kind of dancing lessons?
Round. The waltz, the foxtrot, and he could dance. Real good dancer. But I took dancing lessons of Otis Wallace. Then our school orchestra, we used to have our practice in there. Because I played in the school orchestra for a long time. And that's where we'd go and have Mr. Messer. Used to come from Montpelier on Wednesdays. And we'd take lessons, and then the ones that wanted to. And then after school, for an hour, we had orchestra practice down there.
Well, from talking with a number of people, there was quite a bit of music in this valley. I mean,
used to be, yeah.
You spoke about going to dances in Warren, and there were a number of, Raymond Gove, I guess, was
right.
A good fiddler, and Earl Long. He remembers some of the old songs still.
Sure, I see Earl once in a while.
Fred Smith was another one.
Yeah, and Dr. Shaw's wife used to play the piano, and Fred Smith's mother used to play the piano for dances. Hazel Bragg, Catherine Johnson's mother, used to play the piano very well, too.
I wonder if it was Hazel Bragg. Do you remember her name was Ella Wakefield?
Sure. Went to school with her.
Did you?
Sure.
I loved her. I just thought she was terrific.
Yeah.
And she was talking about a woman in Warren who we were always going to go over to see that played the piano and that sang parodies. Do you know who she might
have? Who would that be? In Warren. I don't know. Ella could do it all right.
Oh, she sure could. Yeah. I have several. I should bring them over to you. Several recordings of her.
Oh, I'd like to hear them.
And also, wonderful stories.
I'd like to. One night, she and Barbara Story.
Yes.
Came here and played cards.
Yes.
And, but Ella stayed with me one weekend when I was growing up. She lived in Warren then before they moved to, was it Hancock or Rochester they moved
Hancock.
To? Hancock. And I was, my freshman year, Edwin, her brother, mm-hmm. was in my class.
Yes, I knew him too.
You did. I was friendly with Edwin, yeah. He's my age. He's passed away, hasn't
yes.
he?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Ella's gone.
Ella's
I don't
gone,
know
yeah.
about her sister.
I didn't know
sister her sister in Connecticut.
Sister.
Can't think of her name. Stella, maybe?
Maybe. I knew her daughter, Faye.
Faye and Bonnie.
Yes, the niece.
Bonnie was Ella's daughter. She had daughter Bonnie and Faye. And she had three boys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She had six children, I think, all together.
Well, she did?
Didn't she?
I knew she had the three boys and the two girls.
Did Ella's mother play piano?
Yes.
For some of the dances?
I think she came from a very musical family, and she was terrific.
Oh, she was funny, wasn't she?
Oh, just cracked me up.
Oh, she was great, yeah. And Edwin was full of it, too. We were just down Sunday to Barbara Story's 70th birthday party at Hancock. But I didn't know Edwin's wife, but as she was leaving, somebody told me who she was, and Barbara said, gee, I wish I'd have thought of that. But I never met his wife, but I knew him real well.
I met her once, I think.
So Edwin was in my class, and Ella went to school down here in high school a while. And I was friendly with her. I never went to her house, but she came to my house and stayed over. As I say, she was here once since we lived here, played cards. She loved to play cards. When we'd be down to Barbara Story's once in a while, she'd come up. She lived up the branch, too. And
Yeah, well, I remember I met Barbara Story at Ellos, and she was reading some of her poetry, the telephone
one. Well, she just had her 70th birthday Sunday.
When I lived and grew up in East Warren, and they used to have these kitchen parties there, kitchen junkets, they call them, and like Fred Smith and one of the Shaws there.
Ben Shaw.
Ben Shaw used to play. And they'd play all night long for $3 a piece.
I couldn't get over it.
And you used to go to different houses every Saturday night after you got your chores done with a pair of horses and put them in the barn so it'd be warm to come home with. And you get home in the morning time to start chores again. It'd last all night.
I went up to my cousin, Lightning Glennis. They lived in Warren Village, Charlene. And I went up before I knew Jack even. I knew Irma. His sister Irma, because she was in school down here. But we went up my cousins and stayed over for the weekend. And they were going to this kitchen junket, they call it, which I had never heard of. And it was up at his folks' house. And this man came, and we got in this, I don't know what you call it, horse, and it wasn't a sleigh. It was something a lot of people could get into. And they had robes, and we got in, and he took us with horses up to his folks, and I couldn't get over it because they danced in the living room. And I thought, boy, I can't imagine my mother letting them dance in our living room. And I couldn't get over it because they were dancing in the kitchen, they were dancing in the living room, and all this food, I never seen so much food. And put the coats on the bed in those days, and that bed, I don't know how you ever found your coat when you come to go home, you know. But I never forgotten it. I don't know what time we got back to Glenna's, but I was so cold. Oh, it was cold. But we went, that was my experience with a kitchen junket. But I didn't know him then. But I knew Irma, she was home. But that was quite a, I got that lesson.
Well, they were great fun, I guess.
Yeah, but can you imagine? They just moved furniture
some
out.
Some of the women would take sandwiches, some of them would take cakes, and you. They'd stop two or three times, have an intermission like, and everybody'd have something to eat. And then go back at it again. Never was any problem.
Was there singing as well as fiddling ever?
Was what?
Was there some singing as well as fiddling? Did who was it was telling me, oh, I guess it was Earl Long, said his father had a wonderful voice and he used to play,
of them used to sing along with him.
Because a lot of those old songs are gone, and one of my hopes was to find some people that would remember them.
They'd take up a collection to pay the music. And you didn't have to spend any money, out-of-pocket money, and you just had a ball.
Well, that was my kitchen junket experience.
When did they stop?
Oh, dear, I guess they started fizzling out along in 38, 39 in there somewhere.
Oh, it's before that.
Was it?
Yeah, before that, I don't know. Because that was the only one I ever went to. And that would have been in the winter of 1932. That winter, maybe January of 33. Because I know it's when I was a freshman in high school. I went up to Glenna's and spent the weekend. And that was a big treat to go to Warren and spend the weekend those days, you know. And she wanted us to come up and go to the kitchen junket, which I never had been to.
Yeah, she was your cousin.
She was my cousin, yeah. Yeah. And she taught school up there in Warren.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. And she had taught in East Warren. And maybe that's how come they went up there, I don't know. But this Mr. Murray came with this, I don't know if it's a bobsled, I don't know these names, but we all got in this bobsled or whatever it was with robes. And coming home, I thought I'd freeze to death. Oh, it was cold. I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah, Thelma Neal, I talked with her, and she spoke about going down one night from, I guess, her parents' farm. And
probably.
They get all hot and sweaty, and then they down in the town of Warren, and then they had to go home.
Go back home.
She said it was mighty cold.
I remember, I don't know if anybody ever mentioned when we had medicine shows here.
Oh, tell me about that, yeah.
We used to have medicine shows, and they'd come and stay a week, all week long, from, I don't know if we had them Sunday, I guess Monday through Saturday. And they'd sell us kinds of medicine, as I remember it, and they'd have a good show. It was really good. Then they would vote. I don't know if you bought something, you had so many votes for different ones. And I remember one year they had it, I won this big lamp, homeliest lamp you ever saw in your life. Oh, it was terrible. But I won that. And we'd go every night, you know.
Well, now, how did you win it?
Well, as I remember it, they sell this medicine, different mm-hmm. kinds of medicine they would show. And you'd get so many votes, I guess, as you bought medicine and people could vote. First night, I guess they put names in. Then from in, you vote that rest of the night, you'd vote for whoever you wanted to. Different ones would vote, you know. And I don't know if you got some votes when you went in. I don't know just how the votes did go. But I know we just, kids love to go, you know. And you'd see a different show every night.
What kind of a show would you see? Sort of a variety
show?
Yeah,
a variety show, yeah.
And what kinds of things would they do?
Oh, they play musical things and a comedy act, and some would sing, and it might be a little sketch or skit or whatever you'd call it. It was all a variety of things.
And would they be here for 5 days and then go to Warren for 5 days? Or?
I don't know if they went to Warren or not. Do you remember them, Jack?
No.
Earl Fuller spoke about remembering medicine shows.
Yeah, I do. This is when I was quite, well, before I was out of school, because I remember going to them, and we looked forward to them coming every year, you know. We had it down at the Odd Fellows Hall, where the theater is now, Valley Players.
Yes.
That's where we'd go. And they had the stage, of course, and it was a big treat. We looked forward to them coming. And it was a variety show, is what it was, but they'd sell these different rubs, and it's supposed to be pain, take care of pain, and cough syrup, and my folks weren't enthused with the medicine because we weren't medicine people. We don't take medicine unless we have to. But a lot of people would buy that stuff, you know, and that was kind of interesting. Every year they'd have it. We had fun.
Another thing, speaking about medicine, that I've been interested in is the old remedies. And it sounds like you probably didn't use many of them, but some of the old remedies really seem to, people swear by them.
There's a book on television they're advertising now that if you have, what is it, a toothache, rub ice on the palm of your hand. Maybe you've seen that.
No, I haven't.
They've had it on. I thought I might like it. It tells oatmeal's good for poison ivy. That
so
same idea.
From the old, yeah.
Yeah. It might be fun to have one.
We lived in East Warren there that I was born at home. And I recall Dr. Shaw lived just below us here now. And he used to come all times of the year. He'd come up in East Warren if he had to go with a horse. But then back in 37 or 38, he started doing some of his calls with a car. He had this old, I think it was a 35 Terraplane. And he'd go as far as he could go with his car in the springtime when it was muddy. And then he'd grab his satchel and take off a foot. But I don't know what people would do today when they, if there was an accident or sickness.
Dollar for a house call. Go to his office, it was 50 cents.
He'd get his car stuck in a ditch, and all the neighbors knew it was his car, and they'd take a pair of horses over and get his car out of the mud for him. He kind of expected that, but he'd come regardless of the weather. And he had 6 miles to go. Or maybe more. From here to East Warren, it must be 7 or 8 miles.
He's a pretty good old guy.
Well, he was the one that Otis Wallace said came across their culvert just before their road went out.
Probably was, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been, I would think. They came from Roxbury over here to live. I don't remember what year it was. I have no idea what year they came. I remember when they came here, they had a parrot. And we kids used to, like, come up, and the parrot talked. We used to like come up and talk to the parrot. I can remember that. So I wasn't very old. And this was a pasture when I was growing up here. And I remember when I was quite small, Catherine and I and a group would, our mothers would pack our supper in a shoebox. Not a dinner pail, a shoebox. And we thought it was a big treat to come up here and sit in this pasture and eat our supper. And we'd play up here a while and then we'd go home. And I remember when I was growing up, I said, if I ever had a house, I'd like it up there. Never thinking I would, but I've got it.
That's great.
I don't know what my folks would think if they knew it, but I always thought I'd like a house up here.
That's neat.
Because we used to come up here and play, and we'd come up and have our supper. And
remember when they, did anybody ever tell you that these box socials, they used to call them, the girls would pack a, like a shoebox with sandwiches and things in the box, and they'd have a, they'd auction them off, and whoever bought this lady's box, or girl, woman's box, you could sit with her and have your lunch.
But they'd trim them all up, decorate
them. You never knew whose box you was getting. Might be some grandmother you had to sit with, but that didn't matter. It was all in fun.
Did that happen to you?
Well, once or twice it did.
Yeah, well, now you feel different. You're a grandfather, don't you?
Yeah.
It makes a difference. I missed out on those. We didn't have those.
Seems like they used to have them at the schools, and they'd give the money to the school for operating expenses, I guess. I never knew where the money went, but you could buy a box for maybe 50 cents, you know, 35 cents.
And I understood, though, that if you had a girlfriend, usually she'd whisper to you which was her box.
Yeah.
I never got in on those. I think, being in the village, I think we missed a lot of things like that. Because our school didn't have those. And we didn't have kitchen junkets. We had things at school, but not that. It was more of a dance, you know, or plays.
Well, it was easier, in a sense, for you to get together. Because you
right.
were all here. And you had to make an effort.
Yeah.
Now, we could go in the town where the town clerk's office is now anytime we wanted to. We didn't have to have chaperones, and well, my mother could look and father could look across, of course, in the windows because I lived so close. But there were so many of us that played instruments. We'd go in there sometimes and one would play a while and we'd dance, and then somebody else would play a while and we'd dance. We had enough that played trumpet and violin and piano and that, so that we had a good time, and night after night we'd be over there till maybe 10, 10:30, and nobody worried about us that I ever knew of.
Yeah, I guess it was very different, and you knew everybody.
Yeah, of course we didn't have cars to get around there much either. The parents took us, and I think that made a difference maybe too, if we went, you know, like to Moortown or somewhere, or if we went to movies, different parents took us. We weren't off in cars by ourselves. And we walked where we went, the ones here in the village, and we always went in a group. You know, you never went alone. You were always in a big group, four or five boys, four or five girls. And I don't know, I never knew that my folks worried about me. They did, they never showed it.
Well, they probably didn't.
Times were different, of course. But we had a good time. We all got together.
Well, back to the ski business, because it seems that that was when the changes really, was that when the changes started coming in?
Yeah. But, of course, Mad River was the first area that started here. I think they're still using one lift that was put in back then.
That's what I
understand.
That
old single chair.
Yeah.
But even that has changed. I remember that when I started working there on weekends, of course, the other areas weren't here then, so they got bigger crowds, and you know, sometimes there was 200 people waiting in line to get on the big lift there. It was like a never-ending process to get them up the mountain, you know. But
Did you help clear the trails? Is that what you did, or?
When I first started there, I worked on the lift and done errands for them because they had no facilities. Everything had to be taken up from the local stores here because they didn't deliver at the area then. So on weekends, I'd have all these errands to do in the morning, and then I'd work on the lift. I'd start doing errands at 7 in the morning. I didn't have to start on the lift till usually 9 o'clock. So pick up the bread, and the cakes were all made in town here, and the bread man left the bread at Maharon's store because they didn't deliver up there then. In fact, I think when I don't think that 17 was open any further than the lift when I started working there.
Oh, really?
I don't remember.
And it must have been all dirt road, too.
I think it was, yeah.
Who started Mad River?
I don't know. The first one I remember was, what the heck was his name?
Roland.
Palomino. Roland Palomino.
Palomino?
Yeah. He put in X-ray lifts there then. He was a great manager. Or I thought he was. He didn't run in debt anymore, and he had to, not like they do now. If he had a good year, he'd escrow some money. So if they wanted to expand, they didn't have to borrow money, and they didn't have to pay interest on it. So I thought he was a pretty good manager. I guess maybe he wasn't like the best of any of them. But and then I think Jack Murphy was manager when I started working there.